Welcome back to Happy Brain. Now, you've done all the challenges. We see them all over social media. Whole 30, 75 hard, 21 steps to a better life, a million different challenges that you do. And why do sometimes they just fail? Or in my case, I've repeated them. I've done Whole 30 several times and then I slip and I fall and I can't get back and I do it again. So my question today for our coach, our starseed coach and mentor, and she's created a program for the 5 steps to alignment. All right, let's get real. Let's talk to Haley Carbajal, and she's going to talk about why we do fail on some of these challenges and what kind of things can we think about in terms of the bigger picture, not just losing weight, but what does losing weight have to do with our overall life, with our big goals, with our big dreams? If you think about things that way, maybe it's going to be a little bit easier or more fulfilling, or more successful to complete these challenges. So stay tuned and learn from Haley Carbajal, and cheers. Welcome back to Happy Brain. My name's Sean Block. Can get this, Haley Carbajal.
Yes.
Did I get it right? Yes. It's a great name. I'm sure nobody ever confuses that name at all. I'm sure it's easy to pronounce, right? Yes. So welcome to the show. We're going to talk about a few different things, but I want to just jump in and tell you about a little scenario that I've struggled with, and maybe you can, and other listeners probably have struggled with it too. So I have this goal. I want to be healthier, right? In this case, weight loss. So there's this program called Whole 30, which is a really good, you know, diet program. It's very prescriptive. It's very detailed. It tells you exactly what you want to do. There's no room for error. I mean, it says the rules are the rules. You follow the rules, you don't do it. So the basic thing is you follow the rules for 30 days, you improve your health, you feel better and all this stuff, right? So I'm really good at rule following. Okay. So you just tell me what to do and I'll follow the rules, right? So I do it and it works. And, you know, I get some results. And then 6 months later, I'm right back in the same spot. I'm like, I've not followed the rules because I forgot the rules. And then I have to do the rules again. And there's some kind of connection missing. And so I was wondering, in the work that you do and in finding intention and doing things, what kind of things can people like me do better than just following like a plan? Is there more to following a plan than to succeeding in a goal or what you're trying to do?
Absolutely. So the first thing I just want to say is that when we fall out of a routine, it is normally because, number one, we haven't dug deep enough in the subconscious mind to break that framework, and also that we lost our strong reason why it was so important for us to lose weight. Because the reason why we do or do not do something falls down to two reasons. It's either our belief in it, our belief that it'll work, our belief that it's worthy of our time, our belief whether it's worthy to continue, belief in ourselves, and also our reason why. We usually, is, you know, especially weight loss, we can hit a certain point and we're like, yes, I reached my goal. And then we forget that we were the ones that must sustain that. So when it comes to applying strategy and following rules, so I am a spiritual mentor and coach, right? And so I know an abundance of spiritual strategies and spiritual modalities and all of these things. And yes, all of these things do work to a certain capacity, just like every single diet works to a single capacity, to some capacity, right? But it is never about the strategy. It is actually who you are being while you do it, right? So let's just say, for an example, like, because my sister did Whole 30, so I know how restrictive it is. If you're looking at the strategies before you and you're looking at it from a place of fear or scarcity, like, wow, this is what I have to endure, this is what I have to do, then who you're being in that moment is maybe a little bit resentful, a little bit fearful, a little bit scared. And so because of that, you're going to get different results, right? Because everything in this universe is vibration. You just look at the Emoto experiment. And when he sent different messages like, I love you or I hate you to the different waters, and then froze it, the crystalline structure of the water was different, right? So in relation to, you know, the strategy, because I am a firm believer in having a morning routine that sets you up for success, right? And so you do want to have something in your arsenal that you already know works, right? Maybe it's the music, maybe it's the movement, maybe it's listening to a podcast, right? Whatever is going to set you up for success. Now, in relation to a strategy, you really want to pay attention to how you feel at the end when you're finished with it. That is how you know if the what you the strategy you applied was effective.
Can I ask one question on that? So what I'm hearing you saying is, as I'm going through this, if I'm looking at this, oh, this is a restrictive 30 days, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm bringing all this negative energy in, and it's, that's not a good thing. But if I go through it and say, you know what, actually, I'm doing all the things because it's going to benefit me, because at the end, I'm learning new tricks and tips for eating better, and I'm going to feel better. And is that going to be a better approach?
Yeah, your focus is everything, right? So it is very normal when we're amidst change, whether it's chosen or forced, that we can be resentful of it, because again, there's the subconscious there that's being triggered. And that's a whole nother conversation.
Yes.
Subconscious. But here's the thing about finding reasons to continue that is actually more powerful, right? So we as humans, we have pretty much, if you boil it down, two motivations: motivation to move away from pain and motivation to move towards pleasure. But in order for there, the pleasure is actually not as strong as we think. Moving away from pain is 5 times more powerful than moving towards pleasure, right? So yeah, it might be motivating to think about going to the beach and feeling good about yourself. But when you realize that if the health doesn't get addressed, you could be on prescription medications for the rest of your life. If you're struggling with diabetes, it could be a chance for amputation. That is going to motivate you. But here's the little nuance of it, okay? Because we don't want to have a motivation that is just something to get us out of our own personal hell. It's got to be more than that. There has to be this inspiring big dream that motivates us. Like if you're a single man and you're looking to find an attractive woman, what is it going to feel like when an attractive woman is like, damn, you look good, right? And then we hold on to that. See, it's very, just as an athlete conditions his body for a race or for a run or for the Olympics, we must condition our minds. And so not only is that listening to music that inspires you, listening to things that are educating, that are educational and talk about where you want to go, but I always place my hand on my heart, but ultimately just visualizing what it feels like to feel healthy, to feel slim, to, you know, have that experience where there is an attractive counterpart saying how attractive you are. Right. And that will motivate you.
So what's really important, like we talk a lot about mental health, obviously, in this show, and mental health goals. And we do all these things like, you know, weight loss, fitness, all these things because we want a bigger, better life, a more stable mental health and all these things. So our fear is being mentally ill and not being able to do all these things. So we want to move away from that. We want to move away from those things. So are we trying to find things that are going to help us move away from that? Is that what's powerful? Instead of just saying, I want to feel good. I want to, like you said, I want to go walk on the beach. I have a favorite place I mentioned to you. I'm going to go out there and just go feel good today. But what you're saying is that the power of avoiding that fear or moving away from that place you don't want to be is more powerful. Is that what I'm hearing?
What you're hearing what I am conveying here, what I'm attempting to convey here, is that it's good to have the awareness of what's at stake if you don't do what's required of you to do. And also that cannot, that's also not sustaining. So it's got to be more than getting out of our own limitations, our own fears. It's got to be this bigger dream that you're working towards. It's got to be this, it's almost like your goals. You have to find a goal, because goal setting can be very sterile. It can be very almost nonchalant is the word that's coming up. But when you have a goal that is connected to a purpose, because a person on purpose can do the impossible, will do the impossible. So if there's a strong purpose, a strong reason why, like going on a vacation, meeting somebody new, getting off of the prescription meds, finding more mental and emotional balance within, then it will just have like this gravitational pull of its own. And it will be this unconscious pull to keep going. And so if you're struggling with bouncing back, the subconscious mind is a part of that. And also you don't have a strong enough of a reason why. There's not a strong purpose continuously pulling you forward. And sometimes it takes time to discern what that purpose is, you know,
got it.
You gotta give yourself grace.
So simplifying it, going back to our whole 30 example. So the reason just losing weight in itself is not obviously going to be enough. It's like, why do I want to lose weight? Because maybe I'm trying to live a healthier life so that I can travel more, so that I can spend time with family. I can have the loved one and we can do all these things and have that feeling. And this is just part of it. This is just part of, this is one tool to kind of get there instead of kind of separating it out. Is that kind of,
yes,
that make sense?
Being more specific, because, okay, everybody wants to lose weight, just like everybody wants to make more money. But why? Who benefits? Why do you benefit? I love that you just mentioned travel, right? Why is it so important for you to travel? Where specifically do you want to go? Who specifically do you want to take with you? Because transformation does not happen in the generalities. Transformation happens in the specifics. So when you can anchor in a specific reason why, that makes it that more compelling, that more alluring, and that more powerful.
That makes a lot of sense. So one of the things that you mentioned in your, when I was reading about you, is that you talk about one thing that you can do that makes, everything you do can make, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The one thing you can do that makes everything you do more powerful.
Yes.
It seems like we're talking about this. It's like the one thing you can do is, one of the things you can do is actually have a bigger goal, a bigger plan in your life. Is that kind of what you mean by that?
Well, there is that, yes. But the one thing that you can do that makes everything you do more powerful is intention. And I don't just mean it, because really intention is not an intellectual process, right? So your heart is 5,000 times more powerful electromagnetically than your brain. So yeah, you can think about the Whole 30, you could think about losing weight, or even let's go as granular as preparing a meal, okay? If you just think about enjoying the meal, that's not going to be enough, because this universe speaks in frequency. Frequency carries information, just like sound waves, radio waves, Wi-Fi, right? So when you set the intention, so I always ask myself these three questions. What is my intention for what I'm about to do? So going to the meal example, my intention is to create a meal that actually surprises me, that I actually enjoy, right? Being specific, not a good meal, a meal that surprises me. What do I want to feel when it's over? Because we want to focus on the feeling, the heart, 5,000 times more powerful than the brain. So that I want to feel satisfied. I want to feel like I achieved something, and I want to feel content and full. I want to feel full. I would love to feel full, right? And then the last question I ask is, how do I want others to feel when I'm done? So maybe they're on the diet with you, and they're like, wow, you really did a good job. Or others can feel how good you feel, right? Because you followed through on the achievement, you're feeling achievement. And so then it's not enough to just say these things. It's not. The reason why intention this way is more powerful is because you are seeing it in your head and feeling that experience in your heart before it happens. And that is making a command to the universe as to what you want to experience, what you want to pull in, and your expectations of how you want to experience it. And because you lived it in your mind first, your reticular activating system is going to see through the lens of that filter of like, wow, I really do feel like a sense of achievement. Wow, I actually do feel a sense of satisfaction. So it's not just woo-woo spirituality, which I absolutely love and adore, but also when you're doing that, visualizing that, your reticular activating system recognizes the biochemistry that is being produced from the emotions that you're seeing by visualizing it. And then you actually do scientifically create that experience. So whether it be meal planning, those three questions, what is my intention for what I'm about to do? How do I want to feel when it's over? And how do I want others to feel when it's over?
That last point is really, really interesting, because to me that takes your energy from just you and you're sharing it out to the world, right? And your energy is like flowing and like thinking about how it affects other people. Like, Who thinks that weight loss is just about – you always think it's just about you, right? But it's the people you're with. Maybe they can enjoy you more. Maybe you can travel. You're healthier. You're not as – you know, there's a million things. But that's a really interesting point. Really, thanks for sharing that. That really kind of struck a chord there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Just real quickly, I wanted to just get a little bit back into your backstory, because you didn't just come up with all these – this framework. You've had some struggles in yourself and you really came through. And how did you learn all these brilliant things and wisdom that you're sharing with us, real briefly?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of it I attribute to being in a state of meditation and observation. So not just meditating, but being the observer that is observing me throughout my life. Whenever something external happens, I always ask, what is this showing me about myself? And I take extreme ownership of what I respond to and what I create in my life. Also, having mentors was a huge facilitator in what I do, what I know. But yes, I mean, struggles I went through just very briefly, because I think that we have way more important things to talk about than me. But I went through a 208-hour long calls and got rejected. I got rejected 208 times before I got my first yes in my business. And so that was like about 8 to 9 months of, you know, investing in a business and losing large sums of money. That was losing friends and family because they didn't believe in what I was doing. And they thought that I was crazy for pursuing, even though I was losing large sums of money. And it really had me look at the darkest and most limiting parts of myself, my mindset. And I was, quote unquote, forced to take a look at what needed to be changed. And so everything that I speak about comes from a place of authenticity and being a native walking the walk, because I know what it's like firsthand. I know what it's firsthand.
Yes.
To apply a strategy and not feel congruent with it, or to apply something and feel like it's fruitless, and finding a way not only for reframing or finding the purpose in the pain, finding the beauty and the challenge, because actually all challenges are in direct response to our dream, right? Mm-hmm. You pay the price for your dream, like working out and getting healthy. You pay a price either way. You pay the price of regret for not going to the gym, or you pay the price of your comfort zone and going to the gym, right? So it's like a choose your heart thing. But the challenge of getting yourself up in the morning to go to the gym, we look at that as a challenge and that it's a struggle, but that's a challenge and a struggle that's directly related to what we want. So even when we butt up against challenges, hardships, or struggles, it's actually telling us that we are in alignment with what we want and where we're going.
Okay. So the key is to know where you're going, and then you'll be able to absorb all these challenges. And like you said, in your business, failing and failing and failing, you must have had such a strong vision, desire, goal at the end that it maybe didn't matter how many times you failed. You just would keep going because you knew that was part of the process.
Exactly.
Wow. And so I know you developed kind of a framework of 5 steps to alignment. I'm sure it encompasses a lot more deeply spiritual work that we're not really addressing here. So I want people to be able to find you and really dig deep into some of the more broad spiritual journeys that you take people on as well. I know we're talking a lot about a practical approach today, but how can they learn more about you? And what, briefly, what is the 5 steps to alignment? What is that going to bring in people's lives?
So the way to reach me is on all general social medias, 5 steps to alignment, 5stepstoalignment.com. So are you asking specifically about what the 5 steps are or what they can expect?
Well, briefly, what can they expect when they connect with you? Or is there a way that they can like reach out to a call so they can learn more about you? I'll put all the links to your socials, your website. But is there anything real quickly you wanted people to kind of know as they start to think about connecting with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get ready. Because I am a no BS, no fluff type of person. And I will hold you in a space of love, but also call you out when you're feeding your own limitations, right? It's really a personal overhaul of you. I am here to help you get crystal clear on what you say you want for yourself and help you get there while adhering to your morals and your values. Mm. I fully believe in facilitating in your higher calling.
I love it. And Haley, is there anything else you kind of wanted to leave us with today?
Mm-hmm. So when you're applying a strategy, it's not about the strategy itself. It's who you're being while you do it. And the best way to understand who you are being while you do it is the emotion that you're experiencing. If you're in a state of force, if you're in a state of anger, if you're in a state of frustration, you're not going to get the results that you want. And that probably means take a step away, take some inventory and reassess. However, if you leave that or come into that with a space of creativity, hope, connected to your dreams and what you want, that will ultimately change the results that you get in your favor. So just focus on who you're being while you do the strategy and not so much on the strategy itself, and be willing to adapt.
I think that you've hit on something so important. There, in our society and on socials, there's so many challenges, right? 30 days to this, 75 days to this. There's a million challenges, and people jump on them because other people are doing them and they don't think really thoroughly why they're doing them, how it feels, all the experiences. So I think you really could apply that so strongly to all these things that people are doing, why they fail. You know, I've done 75 hard, for example, and, you know, people fail all the time on that because they don't know really why they're doing it or whatever. But thank you so much for all your insight today. And I'm excited for having people connect with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.